thank you so very much for your meeting, for choosing to serve with us on this morning. To our brothers and sisters in Christ, Holla Heights family, and to the visiting congregations, we are thankful to have each of you on the call this morning. And we want to say to everyone, especially all the mothers, we want to say to you, Happy Mother's Day. And I would say to the children, as I always do, in the words of my beloved mother, I call her Shorty, her name was Jerry Brooks. She would say to us when we were cutting up, she would say, okay, you only get one mama, and when I'm gone, you don't get another one. And man, that would straighten me up every time. And my mother obeyed the truth. My mother died in the Lord. And I'm thankful that she knew the truth and obeyed it. If you're a mother on the call this morning, haven't obeyed God, where will you lead your children? You got to believe. You got to believe that the Bible is right over you, your mama, your grandmama. The Bible is right. You have to do what you got to do, knowing that Jesus hung, bled, and died on the cross of Calvary. Believe that with all of your heart. Repent of your sins. Confess him to be the Son of God. Be baptized in water for the remission or the forgiveness of your sins. And the Lord would add you to the only church in the Bible, that is the Church of Christ. On Acts 2:47, the saved are in the church. And there's but one. There's but one church, and it's the Church of Christ. And we don't say that to be hateful. We just say that that's what the Bible says. If I could preach any church would do, I'd do it. If I could preach any God would do, I'd do it. But to use this Bible, you can only preach one God, this Father. You got one Son, Jesus Christ, one body is his church. That's Ephesians 4, verse 4 through 6. So we're thankful. Unfortunately, we're prevented, not forsaken. We're prevented due to the risk to lives. We are under the law of mercy, so we're not forsaking the assembly. We're assembling as blind people would. We can only hear, but I'm thanking God that faith coming by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The hearing by the word of God, which we'll be preaching from this morning, book of Revelation. Revelation is chapter 5. Today is the Lord's day. Today is the Lord's day. We are thankful. Revelation chapter 5. I'll be speaking from Revelation chapter 5. Who is worthy to open the book? Who is worthy to open the book? We're getting to the good part. All of it has been good, but it's going to get interesting going forward as we explain Revelations to you. And John writes, I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne, a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. Keep in mind, we learn in chapter 4 that John is now in a spirit. He's seeing a vision, a spiritual revelation from Jesus the Christ to him. In chapter 4, he saw his throne. In this vision, it was a beautiful throne of God. We talked about that last week. Now he see in the right hand of God, him that sat on the throne, a book written within and on the backside. Okay, at that time, it's not like we see books today. Books were manuscripts, a roll, a scroll, they call them. And they were right on the front side and the back side of it. So this book is sealed with seven seals. When something is sealed, that means it's locked in a sense and only can be opened by those authorized to open it. So John says, this book, he saw it. In verse 2, he says, then I saw a strong angel. I'm going to stop right there just for a minute. He said, I saw a strong angel, because angels are we learned last week, those beasts were angels. We have the different kind of angels in the scripture, this reference, the cherubims, Ezekiel 10. Last week, read that whole chapter there. The seraphims in Isaiah 6. Then you have the archangel. You know, when the Bible talks about in 1 Thessalonians 4:16, he's going to come back and sound the voice of an archangel, sound of trumpet, the voice of an archangel. So archangel, also known, Michael was an archangel. Jude 9 talked about how he was fighting. He was a fighting angel. And also in Revelation 12 and verse 7. Then you have Gabriel in Luke 1:19-22. That he was making an announcement. Gabriel made an announcement. Michael was a fight. He had to serve him, and the cherubim would protect the ark. And these, all these angels that were around the throne of God, they were saying, "Holy, holy, holy," with the eyes in the front of them and the back of them. And they were speaking. So last week. And then there was one angel in 2 Kings 19:35, took out 185,000 people. One angel killed that many people. God loosed the angel in 2 Samuel 24 after David sinned on the census. 2 Samuel 24, read that, verse 15-16. 7,000 died, and the Lord had to stop that angel. One angel. Jesus said he would call 10,000. Imagine 10,000 angels could wipe out this world in a matter of seconds. Angels. He don't say, in Revelation 5:2, it doesn't say, he just says a strong angel. I just gave you a little information there on angels. I love that study. It's interesting. And so there's some good reading right there for you to go back and read about the angels. Back to Revelation. He said, so John said, I saw a strong angel. Notice what this angel was. He was proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and loose the seals thereof. Angels and asking a question. And verse 3 said, no man in heaven, nor in earth, nor neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. John said, I wept. John started to cry because no man was found worthy to open and read the book. And no man could look on it. Why are you crying, John? I mean, no man can open the book. Who going to open the book? Nobody can look in it. And in verse 5, the Bible reveals, one of the elders said unto him, unto me, John says, weep not. So when the elder told John, don't stop crying. What are you crying about? John said, I can't, nobody can open it. He said, behold, I look, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed. There he comes. There comes this Lion from the tribe of Judah. The root of David had overcome. He prevailed. He's the one to open the book. And he can loose the seven seals thereof. One of the 20 elders told John, stop crying. Stop crying. Look here, the Lion of Judah, the root of David, came. Who is this? Who is this elder talking about? He's talking about the King of Kings, Jesus the Christ, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Genesis 49:9-10, Hebrews 7:14 tell us Christ came from the tribe of Judah. Genesis 49:9, Judah is a lion's whelp. Genesis 49:10, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver between his feet unto Shiloh. There's the Messiah. That word Shiloh comes. He shall gather the people. Hebrew, the Hebrew writer recorded like this, Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 14. It is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah. Here it comes, that line of Judah, which tribe Moses spoke nothing concerning the priesthood. The root of David means that Christ was the very important descendant of David, who was the son of Jesse from the tribe of Judah. How do you know that, Brother Brooke? In Isaiah 11, verse 10 and 1. In verse 1. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse. Now Jesse is the father of David. And a branch shall grow out of his roots. Now, also in Isaiah 11, 10, the Bible says, and in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people, and to it shall the Gentiles seek. His rest shall be glorious. Okay, let me give it to you. You missed it. Here's how it is. David and Jesus, the earthly lineage traced back through the tribe of Judah. David's father, was Jesse, which was of the lineage of David. So it shall be in Luke 2:4, the Bible tells us just that. Now, when you look at the lamb would turn to be a lamb. Let's go back. Let's go to Revelation 5:5. And let's look at this again. Watch this. And one of the elders said unto me, John was weeping, remember? Weep not, behold, the Lion of Judah, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, had prevailed. He had prevailed. He had won. He had overcome. And to open a book and loose the seven seals therein. Now watch what happens now. Verse number 6. And John said, I beheld. I mean, John said, I looked. What did you see, John? What do you see? And lo, he says, in the midst of the throne. Remember the throne in chapter 4. He's looking. He's seeing Jesus giving him a glimpse of what's up there. He said, I see something. What do you see? In the midst of the throne of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb. He stood a lamb. Oh, now you see a lamb. A lamb. And look how he looks. Look how he describes the lamb. As it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, seven meaning perfection, which are the seven spirits of God, and I explained all that in chapter 1, sent forth into all the earth. So this lamb came to the earth, and he came, and he took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon throne. So this, look at this now. So Jesus, when John looked for the Lion of Judah, the root of David, who should open the book, he saw only one that could take it from the throne or from the hand of God, the Father. There was none other on earth who could in the future could reveal this to John. He only the one that could take it from the hand of God was this lamb. This lamb. He takes the book from the hand of God and opens his pages. and revealed it. It's been revealed that John the Lamb can open the book. Note, he appears in symbolic form. Remember I told you in the beginning of the study of Revelation, symbols never symbolize themselves. So he appears in a symbolic form as a lamb, the Lamb of God slain for sins, a sacrificial lamb bearing wounds, the marks of being slain. Notice, the roar of the lamb came to the world. And he died a lamb. You're talking about Jesus, y'all. The most powerful man that ever walked on this earth came as a lamb. But he left as a lamb. Remember, in John 1:24, when he seen him coming, John seen Jesus coming, and John 1:29, excuse me, he said, the next day, John seeing Jesus coming up to him and said, behold, look, the Lamb of God. There he is. What do you got to do? Take away the sins of the world. Isaiah had prophesied that there would be a lamb slaughtered. Who going to believe this report? In Isaiah 53:1. In verse 7, he said the report had to do with he was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened out his mouth. Watch this. He's brought as a lamb to the slaughter. There he is. And as a sheep before a shearer's dumb. So he opened out his mouth. A sheep and a lion are two different animals. They took him up that hill of Calvary. He humbled himself. A lion would have ate him up. But Jesus humbled himself. He became obedient unto death. Even the death of the cross. Jesus is the Lamb of the tribe of Judah, the root of Judah. And now he stands with the book in his hand. And he was slaughtered for the sins of the world. Peter writes in 1 Peter 1 and verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. That's how we get washed. We'll be cleaned up by the precious blood of Jesus. In Revelation, back there in Revelation 5, slow that down right there a little bit so you can get the point. Verse 8, when he had taken the book, I'm back to Revelation 5 now. The Lamb got the book. The four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, watch this, and every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. You might say, see there, Brother Brooks? We can have instruments. Remember, this is symbolic. This is a vision. It has no bearing on New Testament worship. If so, Peter and them would have done it. This is a vision. John is in the spirit. And if it was the case, then every worshiper would have to have a harp in his hand. Our harp is our voice. We speak to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our heart to the Lord. Ephesians 5 and verse 19, Colossians 3 and 16. So, no, this don't have nothing to do with instrumental music and worship. We sing and make melody in our hearts. That's where it all happens, in your mind. Also, I just for another note for those who want to go to this text to try to say we can use instrumental music. We also take a collection in the church now. But you won't read about nobody taking no collection in heaven. See what I'm saying? So notice also there's vials full of odors. Odors. These are prayers. It's going up to God as a sweet smelling savior. Eyes of the Lord over the righteous and the ears open to their prayers. God hears prayers of those who are righteous. So here it is. Verse 9, he said, they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. Thou wast slain and redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people. The angels are singing a new song. Notice this. Jesus, they're singing, is worthy to take the book and open it. So what makes him worthy? Because he was slain and redeemed the world to God by his blood. That's what makes him worthy to open the book, because he was the lamb that was slaughtered, the blood that was shed, that washed away the sins of the world, and that also purchased his church, Acts 20:28, which is known as the kingdom. I said, take heed, therefore, yourself over the flock with the Holy Ghost, and made you overseer to feed the church of God. Notice this, which he purchased with his own blood. What makes him worthy? Because he shed it, the blood on the cross. God's world, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes him should not perish. But God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He was the Lamb of God that was made him worthy to open the book. He was the Lamb. He came for a purpose. Take away the sins of the world. In Revelation 5:10, notice what happens here. We get washed in his blood. He made us unto our God kings. That's little k now, little k. Kings and priests. And we shall reign on the earth. Here we are. All of us who have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. All of us who have been washed, blood of the Lamb in baptism. While on earth, we reign as kings and priests right now. That's why, if you will, we need no pope. If we're already priests, we need no priest to go make a confession to. We're priests by the blood. And I'm going to show you that. We need no reverend to stand in the pulpit. We need no father to call a man father when Jesus called no man father. Matthew 23:7-9. Psalm 111:9, holy reverence God's name. Oh, we need no doctor. Why do you say that, Brother Brooke? Because in the pulpit, in the church, all of us are just brothers and sisters. I'm going to tell you what. In Revelation 22, if you go over there real quick, I'm going to show you something. In Revelation 22, verse 8 and 9, watch this. Listen to this. Listen to this carefully. John said, I saw these things and heard them. When I heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. So John gets so excited, he drops down and starts at the feet of the angel. And watch what the angel said. He said he unto me, I said, what are you doing, John? Don't do that. Why? Well, I'm a fellow servant. And of thy brethren, the prophet. An angel is a brother like the prophet, like Isaiah was, and Ezekiel. And they say, I'm just one of the brothers. I don't understand why brothers or men want to put themselves in this position of being some type of a pope, father, reverend, doctor, whatever, in a high position when God is, when the angel wouldn't even allow him to go beyond saying, I'm a brother. Y'all, can we see this? I wish our brothers could see this. So we all just brothers. That's it. And Job 32:21, let me not, I pray you, accept any man's person, neither let me give flattering titles unto man, for I know not to give flattering titles. In doing so, my maker will soon take me away. I don't ever want anybody calling me nothing more than Brother Brooke. To each his own. If the brother's okay with that, if you're okay with calling him in, whatever you want to call it, but don't call Brother Brooks nothing but Brother Brooks. That's it. That's it. I don't want no title. And all of us understand, we're just like the angel said, we're servants. Jesus came to serve. He said the greatest in the kingdom would be a servant, y'all. Why can't we see this? It just amazes me. But anyway, back to this. While on earth, we're these priests. We are in a spiritual kingdom. Christ, the Lamb of God, is the King of his kingdom. That's big K there. He's King of kings and Lord of lords. And so now, the kingdom he's speaking of is already in existence. Remember in Revelation 1:9, John says, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom. John was already in the kingdom. And the patience of Jesus Christ was in the island that called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus. So John said, I was in the kingdom at the time he was writing this. So the kingdom has already come. So in 1 Peter 2:5, Peter says, ye also are lively stones, built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices accepted to God by Jesus Christ. Watch this in verse 9, 1 Peter 2:9. He said, ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praise of him who have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. The kingdom has come. Remember Jesus, that kingdom come in that prayer? The kingdom come. He told him in Mark 9:1, there'll be some of you who shall not taste of death until the kingdom come. You see the kingdom come with power. Colossians 1:13 says, you who have delivered us from the power of darkness has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. But what I've done is nail this down to refute those premillennial teachings that Christ must come in person to establish a earthly kingdom. The kingdom is the church of Christ. Colossians 1:13, he delivered us from the power of darkness, has translated us, watch this, into the kingdom of his dear son. So Jesus is the King of the kingdom, and the kingdom is the church of Christ. And all of us right here on earth, little kings and little priests in the kingdom. What is that telling us? It's telling us we don't need nobody to take a prayer up for us. We are our own priest. We can pray to God ourselves. That's the blessing of being washed in the blood. No matter where you are, you can ask God to forgive you. You can pray to him. If you've been washed in the blood, you've been translated. But he's coming back to get his kingdom. First Corinthians 15:24. Then come at the end when he shall have delivered up. Watch this. He's not going to believe it here on earth. He's going to deliver up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he has put out all rule and authority. Y'all remember when Jesus got up from the grave in Matthew 20:18? He told his disciples, he said, go teach all. He said, all power have been given unto me in heaven and earth. He's got the book. He has all power right now in heaven and earth. He said, go teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And then he came and died, was buried, and he got up and gave this command to us. And then Paul writes here in 1 Corinthians 15, he's going to come back one day. He also said, and I think it's 2 Thessalonians, he says that to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven in flaming fire with his mighty angels, he's coming back to take vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's coming back. But he's also coming back to deliver up the kingdom. He's going to take it back. He's coming to take us back. And I just quoted 2 Thessalonians 1:7-8 and 9. But in 1 Corinthians 15:44, notice this. He's going to deliver up that kingdom to God. Remember he said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me, in my Father's house. I'm being a mansion. When Jesus comes back, we're going to be caught up with him. We get to go home. We go to the place where John is looking at now, where the street is gold, the walls of jasper. But only if we've been washed in the Lamb's blood. This is why baptism is so important for those of the cause who have not been baptized. You got to be washed in that Lamb's blood. Because the Lamb is the only one worthy to open the book. We're going to see the seals. We're going to open all the seals. There's a lot of stuff in the book. We ain't got to that. We got to get to the seventh seal. But one thing about it, you have no chance to get to heaven if you haven't been washed in the blood of the Lamb that's slain. Let's go back to Revelation 5. I'm getting close to closing now. In verse 11, he says, and behold, I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000, 10 times 10,000, thousands of thousands. John sounds like me saying 10,000 times 10,000, 1,000 up on another 1,000, too many to count. The Lord's number. You have a Bible says, talking about how the angels in heaven rejoice over one sinner. And sinning. Also talk about an innumerable company of angels, which means they can't count them. So many angels. But one angel gets so many damage, but all these angels around the throne of God worshiping him. Isn't that good? I just love this book. Verse 12. What are these angels singing? These angels are singing with a loud voice. They're saying, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, there he is, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessings. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. That's Jesus. There we go. Who is worthy? Open the book. There's only one. It was Jesus the Christ riding on the white horse. Yes, he had. In victory over death. He became sin for us. God raised him up with all power. And sits on the right hand of the Father as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hebrew writer said, you come unto Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem is a church, an innumerable company of angels. Verse 13. And every creature which is in heaven, and on the earth, and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard our saying. What are you hearing, John? Blessing and honor all of them. Blessing, honor, glory, power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, is the Father. And unto the Lamb, is the Son, forever and ever. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, are one God. John said, I heard them saying, they were saying what? John, these creatures, these angels, was blessing, honor, glory, power to him. Father gave reverence to the Father and to the Lamb. And the four beasts say, verse 14, amen. And the 40 and 20 elders fell down and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever. Notice when the song of praise closed, the angelic being, the angel said, amen. Amen. The elders fell down and worshiped. Worthy is the Lamb. If you're on the call today, understand this. What I just taught today is that Jesus the Christ came to the world and God sent him. He would come to this world, live about 33 years. And at the end of his life, the Bible says he humbled himself unto death. Even the death. What are you saying, Brother Brooks? Isaiah was prophesying in Isaiah 53. When he asked that question, who's going to believe the report? Who would believe the report? Who would believe this? That God would send his son and let him go through this? He said, grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He had no form, no comeliness. We shall see him. There's no beauty that we should desire him. He will be despised. He will be rejected of men. He will be a man of sorrow. He will be acquainted with grief. And Isaiah said he will be wounded for our transgressions. He will be bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. He was oppressed, he said. He was afflicted. He would open not his mouth. He was brought to a lamb, as a lamb to the slaughter. Talking about Jesus. Can't you see why God wants us to just do what he told us? Because the lamb came. And when the lamb came, he came. And then he had to go from a lamb to a lamb. And when he did that, the Bible says he humbled himself unto death, even the death of the cross. He became obedient. And though he was son, Hebrews 5:8, though he was a son, after crying to his father in the garden with strong terror, 5:7, Hebrews 5:7-8, he humbled himself. He obeyed the Father's will. And though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And so God highly exalted him and given him a name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in the earth, and things on the earth. Why do you think the elders bowed? God highly exalted him. You can read about that in Philippians chapter 2. Start at verse 5 and read down. You'll see he obeyed God even to the depth of the cross. Y'all remember when he was in that garden? He asked God that, let this cup pass 3 times, and the blood was as the sweat was as drops of blood in agony. In the garden he cried. He became the state mind of a lamb. And he led him leading. Judas kissed him. They led him before Caiaphas. Herod. Pilate. He could have called them angels. He could have called just one angel. One angel wiped out 185,000 people. He didn't call not one angel. He took the whipping. That Pilate scourged him. Even though Pilate said, I found no fault with him. He took the spit in the face. He took the slapping. They put the crown of thorns on his head. And they would lead him up a hill. A lamb to slaughter. And a sheep. Sure as dumb. Would open out his mouth. And they were hanging on the cross with nails in his hands and his feet. Who is this I'm talking about? The one that was worthy to open the book. Would hang on that cross with nails in his hands as the Lamb of God. And God silenced the Lamb when he died for our sins. And victory came over Satan and his angels. We're going to see that. And that's what God wants the world to hear. It's called the gospel. That his son was a lamb and they killed him and they murdered him on the cross. And he wants the people to know that I gave my son because I love you. My son gave his life in greater love and no man than this, that he would lay down his life for his friends. Jesus wanted us to tell this gospel story. It's good news that there's blood that's been shed, but it took a suffering Savior to die for us. That's what's supposed to prick our hearts and make us do what they did on the day of Pentecost when Peter said, therefore, let all the house of Israel know surely God had made that same Jesus whom you crucified, you killed him, both Lord and Christ. When they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. That's what we should be pricked in our heart to hear that God let his son go through all of that for us. And it should cause us to ask God to forgive us when we sin. It should cause us to make our confessions when we need to make our confession. It should cause us to be baptized if we've never been baptized. It should cause us to want to be washed in his blood in baptism, Revelation 1:5. That blood will wash away your sins. It's supposed to cause you to love God and love his son and then want to obey, but you got to humble yourself. So Jesus, when they took him about the grave, he gave this command, Mark 16:15-16. I'm giving an invitation now. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I'll preach it to you this morning. It's the death, burial, and resurrection story of the one who's worthy to open the book and worthy is the Lamb of God. You have to believe, number one, Acts 15:7. You have to believe in that gospel. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. You got to believe the gospel. You got to repent. Luke 13:3-5, Jesus said, I tell your neighbor, except you repent, you're going to perish. If you have not been baptized, you're going to die in your sins. And you won't be able to get to this place called heaven. God at one time was slack concerning his promise. And some men count slackness, but now he commanded all men everywhere to repent. Once you repent, you must make a confession that's found in Acts 8:37, as the eunuch did. He said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And Jesus said, you must confess that before men, Matthew 10:32. He said he would confess you before his Father. But if you deny him, he's going to deny you. But remember this, every knee will bow one day and make that noble confession. On the day of judgment, everybody going to make that confession. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You need to do it now while you're living. And then we'll baptize you today. Just today, yes, today, you can be baptized for the remission of your sin. And then the Lord would add you to that blood-purchased church, the wife of Christ, the bride of Christ. His kingdom is the church of Christ. It's the only church you can be saved in the Bible. That's the only one in there. And I told you that. It's on your record now. One day your book is going to be open. Everybody's book is going to be open. You got to stand before God for yourself. But you can't never say, if you heard Brother Brooks preach, you can't never say, I didn't know I had to be baptized. You can't ever say you didn't know that the gospel was the cross story of Jesus, because I always tell you. You can't say you didn't know there was one church, because I told you about that. You can't say you didn't know about baptism, because I told you about that. You just didn't believe it. And anyone who don't believe this book called the Bible won't see heaven. Because that's called an unbeliever. Jesus said in Mark 16:16, he said, he that believeth not shall be damned. What is the choice for us, y'all? To believe it. We believe this book in the Church of Christ. We believe it from the front to the back. We believe every word of the God is true. And if you want to call today and you want to be born again of the water and of the Spirit, you hit 5-star on your phone. We'll take your confession this morning after the invitation song. And we'll get you to the closest church building, Church of Christ building, and we'll get you baptized today. That won't be a problem. If you're on the call today and you're a member of the church and you recognize Jesus was worthy to open that book and all he went through for you, and you need to get your heart right with God by asking for forgiveness, making confession. Or if you're on this call, you wouldn't come into worship before COVID-19. It's time for you to restore. How do you restore, Brother Brooks? By making your confession before us, letting us know you back home. And I'm going to stay calm. And when we get back to that building, well, you should be there. You should be there hugging us and loving us, because we are prevented from assembling. But one day, we're going to be going back. We're not forsaking the assembly. But when this COVID-19 stuff is over and no lives are at stake and we're not worried about killing harming our senior citizens and all them, we're going back to the building. But if you're on this call and this is the only thing you've been doing and you're not planning on coming back to the building, you're going to die in your sin because you haven't repented. You have to repent. You have to restore back to the faith. And you do that by making your confession. So we got a song of encouragement. I've appealed to those who are not members of the Church of Christ to be baptized. I have appealed to the members of the Church of Christ who are now joining us through conference call but was not coming to assembly. And now you restore. The way you restore is you need to make your confession. If you want to do that, hit 5-star on your phone. We'll take your confession today, whether you want to get baptized or you need prayer. If you're on the call and you need prayer, hit 5-star on your phone. We'll take your prayer request this morning, and we'll take your confession. We're going to do that. We're after the song of invitation. Brother Gila, you can lead us now in the song of encouragement.